Hello and welcome back
to
Tuesday Night Gaming, starring Hal Jordan, John Stewart, Kyle Rayner,
and
Guy Gardner.
Guy Gardner?
Yeah.
Eventually.
That's right. It's Lanterns Day. Alana is finally coming into her own.
This has been a day long anticipated.
Don't make this show about me.
But,
oh, God.
But you're the biggest and the only Green Lantern fan I know.
My friend.
The show, I was like, I forget so much about Green Lanterns. Oh no!
The whole battery charging thing for me for this.
You didn't know they had to charge.
You remember the charge. You remember the Manhunters. You remember.
I mean, only some of them need to recharge. Rob's not wrong, okay?
Most of them need to recharge. It's very rare that they don't have to.
Who doesn't need to recharge? Besides the doctor,
Ion doesn't have to recharge. And sometimes they just have the battery. Sometimes they just have the battery in like a pocket dimension, like with them at all times. It's not like in their closet halfway across the country.
That was great.
She used to need a ring. She used to lead a lantern. Now she has one.
Yeah. See, yeah. Exactly.
But anyway, before we start talking about lanterns, though, we have Rob's Movie Corner. Did you think I'd forget?
I was literally going to ask if we were doing Rob's Movie Corner.
We're doing it.
Who wants to go first?
Not Rob.
I can go first.
Not Rob?
Rob said no.
He'll get there. He's just also, he has to think about it.
Also, I think the last like 3 months. We're going to go through like 20 movies each, right?
No, I'm just going to do like the last 2 weeks. So in the last 2 weeks, Gru had her shoulder surgery today, which went fine. But we watched the rest of Class Action Park and Alana recommendation. I don't think there's much more to say about it.
The Johnny Knoxville thing? What is that?
No. So the Johnny Knoxville is based on the true story, but this is a documentary about the true story.
I see.
If you like documentaries, it's pretty good. But the other movie I saw a couple of weeks ago was Spider-Man, A Brand New Day.
Heard of it.
Yep, saw that.
And it was pretty good. Pretty good.
I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
Mm-hmm. They made some questionable choices, but it's still clearly above the rest of the Tom Holland Spider-Mans.
Wow. Clearly above.
I think so, clearly. Wait, you disagree?
There was a lot.
I haven't seen it. That would be remarkable if the fourth one in a series was clearly the best one.
The good thing about this one was you didn't really require any previous knowledge.
Yeah, and you know how I know that? Guru had no previous knowledge.
Okay. I feel like at least like the first 5 minutes there's like hard explanation, which I guess works if Guru has so much explanation.
She was like, who's the Punisher and why is the Hulk just smashing all the time? Like, shouldn't he be doing other stuff? But yeah.
I thought it was funny that there was everybody. I was just like, hey, I know. They're all here. There's a random person there.
Lots of guest stars as we have expected from Marvel. But should we go full spoilers, Madalena? Do you care?
I don't care.
I mean, it's been a couple weeks.
No, I don't care either. I kind of looked up some anyway.
Okay, so
classic Alana.
So there were issues with plotting.
What do you mean?
Anyway, issues with plotting where the villain is like amazing for the first half of the movie, and then the villain turns out to be a hero. And then they're like, we were wrong. This villain's not actually a villain. And I'm like, but wait, they did all this villainous stuff. Did they just forget about it?
They're just like, don't worry about that. Yeah.
Wasn't like mind control?
Yeah, they were using mind control. And at one point, they mind controlled the civilian to step into traffic and die. Yeah. And then later, Spider-Man is like, no, don't do it. You're not a killer. I'm like, but you are a killer.
But they were.
Also, just like really cruel. Like, they'll just be, I'll just pretend to be Zendaya and like love your life and just to fuck with you, like.
Yeah, and then the villain is like, I'm gonna go kill MJ. I'll race you there, Spider-Man. Yeah, so it didn't, like, ruin the movie for me, but it could have.
So, like, what was your motivation?
Are you gonna have to watch the movie? I've already given away too much, but it was also dumb. I have no idea. And also, it's a classic plot where if they just stop and talk to each other for 5 minutes, the whole conflict of the movie could have been avoided.
Well, no, because she didn't know what she was looking for.
This is still
for.
Considered the best Spider-Man?
Yeah, despite all that, because it's not like a bland Disney like product.
It is. I don't like it that much, but like it is shot really well. It's like it has like practical sets, and it's not just a bunch of green screen like the other Spider-Mans.
Yeah, I definitely like the way it was filmed.
They actually have him in the suit. Like, it's not just like a CGI suit.
But you
just
can also really fans. You can really see the influence of the games, the video games.
100%. There was a lot of sections that I was like, oh, I did that.
Yeah,
I did that.
They love scenes where he fights like five generics, five henchmen, five or more henchmen. So that was an observation. Okay, someone else.
I appreciate that. I like the henchmen fights. Can we move on though?
Yeah.
My family and I watched Out of My Mind, which was a Disney Channel original movie starring Luke Kirby and, I don't know, other people. And it was a kid's movie, and it was the classic trope of the disabled person who's just secret genius. And so I had to tell my children that it's all fake.
What?
Not it's all fake, yeah, but like most disabled people are not secret geniuses. They're just normal people with a disability.
But they could be.
So that's anyway, the one movie there?
That was the movie I watched. No, I think I watched other stuff too. That's just the one that came to mind.
All right.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Ow.
I think.
Big Shark came out a few years ago. Tommy Wiseau's second movie after The Room.
Yeah.
That was a TV show. So like, and it was really just god awful. I couldn't even watch it. And like, I watch a lot of bad stuff.
Wow.
But Big Shark is pretty amazing. It's about like a big shark. Like it's set in New Orleans, which is where Tommy Wiseau lived for some period of time. And yeah, it's like this. It makes no sense really. Suddenly water appears in the streets of New Orleans and like a shark just comes out and kills somebody. But it's in like that scene will take maybe like 15 seconds and they'll move back to like Tommy Wiseau like drinking with his friends. Like it's just a very weird structure and it's like comedic, but it's not self-aware bad. It's still very Tommy Wiseau. A lot of the back and forth and dialogue are nonsensical. He has like better actors maybe a little bit this time that can like kind of improv with him. But Tommy Wiseau was there at the Angelica and
did he just bring like his whole entire improv team like class?
I wish. I mean he did perform at the AFI Silver many years ago with a bunch of like local actors. He performed The Room and forgot all his lines. It was a weird experience, but I very precious to me. But yeah, he was just there like signing stuff and selling stuff and like selling like Tommy Wiseau underwear. Got a cool
I remember that.
Him. Yeah.
I thought about getting it for Adam for his birthday, but then I thought I might get some looks.
There's still time. There's still time. so that was an awesome experience. And I'd seen it once before, but yeah, it was pretty great. And then I would just say one other movie. I saw End of Oak Street a couple weeks back, which is the Dinosaurs in a Small Town set in the 80s movie with Ewan McGregor and Anne Hathaway. Anne Hathaway's got like six movies this year. And I think this movie's, I mean, it's not making a lot of money, but it's like it's doing okay. It's better than I thought, really, considering it's
some reason no it's IMAX.
Season. Yeah, I mean, she's busy with IMAX and Odyssey, right? Isn't that still?
Yep.
No, I mean the End of Oak Street's like in IMAX for some reason.
Oh, is it? That's impressive because I mean, it looks pretty good. I mean, it's like kind of one of those like broad daylight horror movies, but the CGI doesn't look too cringy. But yeah, it's like it's by David Robert Mitchell. I think that's some combination of those names, and he directed It Follows and Under the Silver Lake. So this is his third movie. And like J.J. Abrams, like was it Bad Robot or whatever produced it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's pretty good. I think I have heard like I was a bit surprised because this like that director's like pretty like he kind of like overthinks everything and makes things trippy. Like it was pretty like very straightforward. It's just like suddenly they're in the 80s, a small town. They're like teleported to like a dinosaur world. And they're just like, well, how do we get out of this and take portals and stuff? But then like...
Rob, are you going to see that Oak Street movie, Rob?
This is what we're talking
about.
Yeah. And I like, overall, yeah, I do recommend it. But it is like way less weird than I expected. But I think they cut the weird out after test screenings, from what I've heard. Maybe it was like a half hour early or longer, I mean. But it's still fun. I mean, I like my movies weird, so the fact that it was just like them just running from dinosaurs for most of the movie and not having like other weird sci-fi elements is a bit strange.
Like an explanation for why it's happening?
Yeah, there's not really an explanation. So maybe that was in part of the deleted scenes. I don't know. But yeah, it's still very entertaining. There's some cool creatures and like some good scares. And it's clearly like going for the Amblin Entertainment because it's like even the music score sounds like a wannabe John Williams. I think it's by that guy that did Star Trek. Michael Giacchino, whatever his name is.
Giacchino, yeah.
Yeah, Giacchino.
All right, interesting.
Still, I still like it's a classic, like maybe like a 7-ish out of 10.
All right.
Yeah.
But by the way, Rob, did you see Obsession and Backrooms?
Oh god, this guy's trying to kill me. Oh god, I have no weapons. Help me. I preferred Obsession personally. I know a lot. Some people.
I didn't think they were stacked against each other.
I don't know.
You had to like one more than the other.
You have to. No, I don't know. It's like Backrooms is cool. It's just like clearly, like he's like it's the movie's about like Chiwetel Ejiofor is this like divorced, sad guy like in like the middle of nowhere. Like he's like. Which is like, you know, not what a 19-year-old understands. So I can't imagine how he's directing this guy to do all this. Like, yeah, just be sad about your wife, man. I don't know. Like,
maybe
so
it's more about the story than the characters.
I heard that the 19-year-old didn't really direct it. He was just like, it was just like yeah. a face.
He was just a participant.
He was just.
I mean,
yeah,
he definitely played directed. He's probably more intense on the Backrooms part itself than like the character stuff. I did hear, like, I think someone else helped with the writing of the character stuff, which makes sense.
Yeah, it makes total sense.
Like, he talks in interviews, he kind of seems like he has, like, I don't know if he's on the spectrum, but he's very, like, I don't know, what's it called, left-brained? Yeah.
He's more about things than people.
Yeah, yeah. So, I don't know. So, like, the scenes with, like, psychiatrist stuff, it just didn't really work for me. But, like, Obsession is just, like, very fun, ridiculous concept, but, like, still pretty dark and like kind of escalates and like there's not like a lot of kills or anything, so it,
I heard there's, you know, violence against cat.
Yeah, but it's like it was like a reasonable
the cat does.
You know, yeah, but
what's wrong with you?
I was like, for that reason I'm out.
Yeah, always. Pretty much always.
Cool. I get it.
Any other...
Rob's a supporter of violence.
Yeah, I'm torn.
Well, I saw the Odyssey. Did we talk about that last time?
No, we have not talked about that yet.
Okay, I thought it was fine.
I thought it was really good.
Yeah. It's in my top 10. I don't love it, but I like it.
I just, I'm like the year so far. I know the story pretty well, so it didn't really do anything particularly different or like, yeah, just different. And so therefore I said, okay, that's a movie. They told the story, you know, I got it.
All right. Any other movies to discuss, Jay?
That's pretty much all the movies I watched.
Be right back.
Spider-Man Odyssey.
Yep. At least in theaters. Actually, I don't know if I watched anything else. What's that?
Toy Story 5. I didn't see
that.
Yeah.
I heard somehow they still pulled it off again. Somehow.
They got Andrew Stanton, who directed Finding Nemo. It's his first Toy Story.
Was it? Oh, yeah, it was, wasn't it?
All right, so should we move on to Lanterns?
Well,
I was going to say, before we get started, what's all of our familiarity with Green Lantern?
Didn't we talk about
that last time?
Yeah, I think so. I think when we talked, when we watched Stargirl, we talked about it when it got into the heavy lantern section.
Oh, when Jade was there?
Yeah.
Maybe.
Possibly. Who knows? We could talk about it again.
Anyway, no, that's fine. Alana's into Green Lantern. I'll just recap. Alana's into Green Lantern. The rest
Alana hasn't read a comic book in like 10 years. Okay, so
that can't be true.
But that last one was Green Lantern.
I don't know.
But when you did, well, one observation I heard about the Green Lanterns, which I think is pretty wise, is that unlike other groups of superheroes, they all have the same powers, so they can't. They kind of need to have their own personality in order to stand out, which is funny because there's not a lot of personality in this show.
I don't know about that, sir.
How dare you?
Hal Jordan has a lot of personality.
Only in the show.
Only the white person, in, like the straight white male, has personality?
Until Nathan shows up.
Yeah, let the show itself do it.
Yeah.
Okay, so should we just jump right into the first episode?
Sure. Do it. You won't. Okay. That word.
So is it called Pilot because Hal Jordan is in it? Also, Abin Sur is discussed. Abin Sur.
Wait, are we going in order?
I don't know. I was just going to talk about things I wanted to talk about.
Okay, that's fine.
From episodes 1 and 2.
Okay, that's fine. We can jump around. I was just confused.
Yeah, Abin Sur's doing
episode 1, isn't he? Or no? It's just episode 2.
No, they talk about it.
Mentioned before. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
He's mentioned.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say talked about. Not until episode 2 where they actually talk.
Okay, I guess I'll start with my general impressions since we don't want to go in order, but the my expectations for the show were absolutely at the floor and it exceeded them. I thought it was actually like okay. the first two episodes at least.
I was just like, this. I thought the trailer actually was pretty good, and then I saw the pedigree, and I was like, my guy Damon Lindelof's involved, so I was pretty intrigued, and it lived up to it. I don't know. It feels like pretty thought out. Maybe some people disagree, but it seems like a.
Oh, you like really show. Like.
I would say yes. I would say right now I like it. There's it's a little actually. I like the first episode maybe more because I was like, oh, this is like going a completely different tone. But now the second episode. They start
brought it back.
Dropping a lot of nerdy lore and like DC stuff, and there's a bit more action scenes, which is fine. The action scenes are good, but I was pretty flabbergasted by the first episode and just like how unsuperhero-y it was.
Well, in my mind, I was preparing it to be like Titans, and it's definitely better than Titans. And they actually do superhero stuff, and the plot is actually about superhero stuff instead of people's feelings. So thank goodness for that. Also, it's like funny. There's good jokes.
Yeah. Jokes. Unquote jokes.
All right, I'm back. What's up?
Well, I had a sensible chuckle when John Stewart goes to the crime scene and this random cop is like, "What's your relationship to Jordan?" And he said, "I'm his trainee." And he says, "You mean like a sidekick?"
Ha 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 ha.
Well, I thought it was funny. Whatever.
There's some good lines. There's some good jokes.
John Stewart's a good straight man.
Yeah. I wrote down two words like when Hal Jordan's like. Finds out that he like had sex with that guy's wife. He's like, Jesus Christ, we've only been here for 24 hours.
24.
I'm impressed. Yeah, that was a funny line. I think not to start the complaining, or maybe you guys have already been doing it. Is John Stewart's too straight to the point where he's like emotionless, robotic, and boring, in my opinion.
Well, you know what's interesting about John Stewart at the bar, but then he uses his ring to light the cigarette of his hookup. So
well, I feel like that's very different. One is ripping off, like taking advantage financially, and one is just lighting a cigarette.
I mean, I think isn't that also kind of the point, Zach? Is that he's lighting up a little bit because Hal is encouraging him to. You know, unclench.
That's one way to look at it. Another way is that he's a big old hypocrite. Because either way, it's abusing the ring's power. You know, it's not the Jedi way, is what I'm saying.
It's too bad because I feel like they could have done a lot. Enemy team on your right, Zach. They could have done a lot with Jon Stewart. Like the idea in the beginning where he's meeting his hero, right? Where it's like, this is a guy that I grew up watching. Like, I want to be him, and then I'm meeting him, and he's kind of like a dick. He's kind of a douche, and like, what does that do to somebody? But instead, he's just kind of like, you can't tell what he's thinking.
We're here to do the job.
He's just so emotionless and robotic. Yeah.
Well, I think he's, I don't know, like, Aaron Pierre just has that vibe of like, being quiet and stoic, but like, I don't know, I think he has charisma.
Well, to be fair, most people's familiarity with Jon Stewart probably comes from the cartoon, and he's pretty emotionless in that as well.
No, that's not true. That is definitely not true. He's serious, but he's like...
He's
absolutely not emotionless.
He loves Hawkgirl.
Like, he loves Hawkgirl. He cares about the league. He cares about duty, you know?
Cares about honor.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So... I definitely disagree about that. Not to jump ahead, but there's one part where he shows emotion, and it's great. And it's the part where, and this isn't the second episode, so I'm sorry to jump ahead, but the part where he gets the Green Lantern suit out of the closet, and he's like kind of like looking at it like, wow, like in awe and shot. You know, like, that was great, because it actually seems like he's showing emotion a little bit. So I really like that part. Right, Alana?
Yeah, I agree. I think his emotional state is a plot point and not anything to do with his acting.
Yeah. He's got daddy issues.
Yeah.
Well, you remember the part where he calls his dad and complains about Hal Jordan during the first episode? Yeah.
That's what's crazy, because I'm like, isn't his dad like abusive? Why do they still talk?
No, his dad's not abusive.
Right.
Collaborated to make him the man without fear.
Do you do that to your kids?
What? My kid doesn't want to be Green Lantern. They're like, well, let's do this William Tell stuff, and then afterwards they hug it out. It was consensual.
There's that scene where he says, like, somebody asks him, like, have you ever been betrayed by someone you love? And he says yes, like, pretty instantaneously.
Yes, he means how.
Do you think it was? I assumed it was like his
father, yeah.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I guess we'll see. But I also think that they're like, okay, you know, John Stewart cannot have fear. He's not afraid of anything. How are we going to depict? There's two ways to depict it. One is that, like, Hal, where you're like a cynical asshole and don't care about anybody but yourself.
Well, you don't even care about yourself. You don't care if you live or die. You only care about yourself.
And then there's also John Stewart, who just doesn't react and, like, show emotions in any way, apparently.
Yeah.
Too brave. He's cut himself off from the force.
Yeah.
He's hooking up.
Dude, that part was crazy. Wait, I just want to shotgun all my thoughts. Okay.
Go on.
So, this show is the most likable Hal Jordan has ever been in his whole existence. Okay. Kyle Chandler is carrying this show.
I agree. I agree. Go on.
Yeah. Macon and his wife don't look old enough to be Jason Ritter's parents.
No, they're not.
And that
Jason Ritter's parents?
They're not?
What are you talking about?
That guy's Jason Ritter, the lawyer.
The lawyer.
No, he's the sheriff's.
Yeah.
Okay,
yes.
Yeah, that is a little weird, but that's hardly.
He does not look old enough to be that dude.
I think he can. I think
this is like a weird thing to get hung up.
I looked it up. There's 15-year age difference, so he just hooks up, you know, when he's a young cat.
Robbie looked it up. I like meant to look it up, and then I was too lazy. First of all, Zach, that threw me off.
But what threw me off more actually was like that, like Kelly MacDonald and him were married, because I was like, is there an age gap? And then I was like, oh, nice.
Nice.
But like, he's 46, but he looks 30. But she's Kelly MacDonald.
Whoa, she's not like 50. That's great.
She has a hard life. She's a sheriff.
No, she looks better than 50, Jay.
Yeah, but she has a hard life.
Yeah, but I think Jason Ritter looks way better than 46. I think he looks 30 to me.
I agree.
Yeah.
Alana, wait, can I say something about, since I've already broken it, about the depiction of Kyle Chandler? Yes, he's great. He's the only reason to watch the show.
Yeah, so far. I agree.
I have to admit, I was concerned at the end of the first episode where it shows him dead, and I was worried. And because that part is in 2026, I was like, here we go. Kyle Chandler's only going to be in the first episode, and like, it's going to be all Frank John Stewart and the sheriff, and like, they bait and switched us again. Thanks, DC. But that was not the case, so I was glad to see that. And I was also worried. Also worried that at the part where the judge says, don't leave town, that's code in my mind to, we don't have the budget to have like multiple locations. So this entire show is going to take place in this one small Nebraska town. But again, end of the second episode, that was not the case. So I'm on board.
I mean, this show really is doing the whole, we don't have the budget for stuff a lot. Like the whole of Hal not charging his ring. Refusing to wear the suit, blah blah blah.
That's what happened.
But like, there's that crazy action scene in like the first 15 minutes of the second episode, where like on the road, where like the cars are weaving.
That scene was so stupid. You thought it was cool. It was like him playing Frogger.
I was worried that they were gonna lose the battery and then have Hal be depowered for the entire show. That was again something I could have seen them doing.
Yeah, the fans were mad.
I was expecting at least one episode.
Yeah. Well, the second episode was pretty much a whole episode with him being depowered. But it also kind of makes sense, because it's like, okay, I'm hiding something on the campus. Watch out, my sniper's going to shoot you in the head while I have the most powerful weapon in the universe on my finger. I don't care about your sniper, right? Do you think Hal's still weak against yellow?
Good question. I assume they got rid of that because it's too embarrassing.
Yeah. What's Alana, as the Green Lantern expert, can you explain, and I think they're touching on this in the show, but can you explain why Ab and Sur can just give the ring to Hal, and then the ring didn't find it to pick its own like champion, wielder, if you will?
It's because they like thought of that later. It's also like, Matt, you could say, like, why did Ab and Sur crash in a spaceship when he has a Green Lantern ring?
Well, they explain that in the Alan Moore.
Episode. Yeah, but like
Alan Moore story.
Yeah,
yeah.
But there's like yellow dust in the air or something.
Yeah,
and also like
or something. Zach, you don't remember that episode? It's one of the DC stories of Alan Moore. Is like the explanation for that. It's all creepy and psychological. I don't remember why.
Oh yeah. It's not because there's yellow in the air.
It's something about how he's like obsessed with charging his ring, and then he's charging it every 2 seconds, and then. That's somehow his fatal downfall, but I don't remember why.
Yeah, good point. Anyway,
yeah, he, John Stewart was never his trainee without a ring, you know?
Yeah,
that's something new for the show.
which is good. I like that they have new stuff for the show, you know?
Yeah.
Well, the thing is, it's like, they say Earth has, there's never been more than one Lantern at a time and from the same planet, but then why does Guy Gardner exist?
Well, that's like later, though.
Yeah, that's a whole
thing. Maybe, yeah.
Are they like moving really on in time?
It's unclear. Yeah.
Also, Guy Gardner, stop talking about Guy Gardner. He doesn't exist in the context of this show yet.
Yes, so. He does. Well, I mean, not yet, pretty well.
On HBO.
Yeah.
What?
He's in the thumbnail on HBO.
Well, that's not...
I'm just saying, it's weird.
Yeah.
Anyway, okay. The suit looks stupid. And,
it does look great.
It looks better than I expected. It should be a construct. I agree it should be a construct, but it does look better than I expected.
It also could have looked a lot better.
It looks better than Ryan Reynolds' suit. Like, what are we seeing?
Yeah, the suit looks great.
The part with the mansion was amazing.
But Hal Jordan's
giant mansion.
It's a great visual. I agree.
Yeah, see, there's good jokes where he's like, you don't have any furniture. He says, I have a bed.
Yeah.
The depiction of Hal Jordan is like amazing on this show.
Yeah.
Can't get enough of it.
I didn't really understand why the sheriff could just Google who Sinestro was.
Well, people know.
We've got internet.
He's talked about it.
Yeah, they know who Sinestro is.
Yeah, they know him, so they know him.
They probably fought a battle in downtown Coast City one time.
The scene where Hal's interrogating that one alien was kind of awesome. I love that line where he's like, oh, the universe is so peaceful. Why does it need cops? He's just like, oh, that's a good point.
You like that you like that line? I didn't like that line. Other than that, it was good.
I like the part where the sheriff says, don't go whacking with any giant green phone books.
But it also is very...
That was ridiculous when she told... Sorry, Jay. Did you have something? When she was like, listen, I understand you've saved the planet like probably hundreds of times. And you are the most powerful being on the planet, but you stepping on my toes really hurts my feelings. So how about you just stay out of this investigation, even though it involves aliens?
Yeah,
that was ridiculous.
That's a tough character. She's a tough character. They're not doing her any favors.
Do you think she's the Manhunter?
The Manhunter?
No,
it didn't occur to me until just now. But
it's got to be Macon. I don't know who else it could possibly be.
No, Macon's boss.
Mm. Oh, yeah. It's not me. It's my boss.
These guys are so sick. Well, they even, like, they had the 80-yard line when she was like, I'm in it for my, like, self as well. And then, like, the 80-yard, like, I gotta help out my town. And I was wondering if, like, we, like, gave up the goose too
early.
That she's...
Yeah. She's like, the town is barely holding... Yeah, I mean, it's dumb. She's like, the town is barely holding on by a thread. It's like, everything seems okay to me.
I mean, what was the deal with that hospital being, like, unused? Like, I was like...
Yeah.
We'll find out.
This has got to be...
That was great. I actually liked it. I liked how creepy it was.
I like that they are introducing plot elements that are not immediately explained. I mean, that's...
Yeah.
A lot of shows don't want to do that. They just want to...
You guys want to know the Redditor's...
Theories?
Sure.
You think everyone in the town's a Manhunter except a sheriff?
What?
That's so stupid. Thank you for sharing that, because there's no way that's going to be the case.
That's why nobody's in the hospital.
My God.
So was it like, we just got to really trick the sheriff? Like, that's their end goal? Or are they just trying to lure Hal Jordan in?
Yeah, they're just trying to lure Hal Jordan. Okay, I literally have like three more thoughts. I'm going to stop.
Okay, go ahead.
That's okay.
Scene, I didn't like how Hal was like, not really owning that he was a Green Lantern. He's like, I'm the Green Lantern. Like, core, you can stay more confidently. Get it together.
I think that, not to disagree with you, but I think that's the point, is that he's like jaded. Yeah. The whole point is, not to sound like Jay, but that's the whole point, is like, he's like, the core, he doesn't believe in anything really anymore.
Yeah.
Right.
Jon Stewart's one night stand was incredibly weird. And the guy, I liked when he said Moko doesn't socialize as his passcode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you love those member berries. You love them.
Okay. The guy Panther. Who interrogates Jon Stewart, who kidnaps him.
Yeah, that Cuban and stuff.
That origin story is the same as Atrocitus from the Red Lanterns. So it's a good chance that guy is Atrocitus.
Oh, I didn't pick up on that.
Nice one. Did you remember that, or did you get it from Reddit?
No, I absolutely did not remember that.
There was a time that you didn't need the Reddit to tell you this stuff.
You didn't need a ring.
You didn't need the internet. You didn't need Wikipedia.
Well, it's interesting that they don't say that the Guardians built the Manhunters. I think it's going to be...
Yeah. Well, that scene with Sinestro was good, too. Although it was short. I'm sure it'll be better next this episode.
No, how are you?
Yeah.
What else? I
did not expect that they would have Sinestro and Manhunters in this show. I guess I could have seen the Manhunters, but I didn't think they'd have Sinestro, so that was cool.
Yeah, it seemed like unlike Titans, they actually do superhero stuff, even if it's not the way you expect it.
They lowered our expectations so much. Two guys in plain clothes the entire show, and then that's all I expected. So it was nice. Anything beyond that, I'm happy.
Mm-hmm. I kind of like the idea of the road trip show, like Green Lantern, Green Arrow, but then they didn't even do that.
Well, I thought it'd be like a crime show. Like they seem to be like solving a mystery in like it's like a weird town, it's almost like a Twin Peaks vibe. But it doesn't quite go that way. And I actually kind of preferred. I was like, when Sinestro showed up, I was actually kind of like, they better pay all this off well, because I don't know. I was like, this guy.
At least it's like a mystery about aliens, you know, so it makes sense that Green Lantern would be solving it.
Behind us.
I was thinking it was like,
in that bush to your left.
I'm on the bush.
Like, if they do a season two, like, what will it be, another small town that like happens to like, well, we have to just solve it.
So when I started the second episode, I noticed it's rated adult for violence, something, something, and nudity. And I was like, wait, there's nudity in this show?
And there was.
Definitely.
Yeah, there was a dick.
And you guys think this show is bad? There's pain in it. Yeah, what are we doing?
Pain?
Pain.
Okay, it can't be bad.
White flaccid
schlong. Schlong.
It didn't need to be either. Yeah, I like the part where he was dragging those dead bodies through the alien detectors. I thought that was kind of clever and interesting.
Even when I'm watching, like, what the hell is going on? Yeah, it pays off.
Yeah, it's a mystery.
Yeah.
It's all a big mystery.
I mean, there's a whole structure, too. Like, episode one is like starts at 96, and they're even talking about, like, 86 is when Lanterns first showed up. And I think, Hal Jordan has a version of himself in the ring. Oh, that dates back to 2006. Cause,
the hologram.
Yeah, the hologram.
Yeah, that was great.
Always remembers 2006. It was like these, like, just all, you know, 10 years. Apps, which
was it 2006 or 2016?
Well, 2016 is when he like Hal Jordan
the last backup, right?
Yeah, well, 2006 when it was last backed up, and then 2016 is when what's his face, John Stewart meets the hologram thing, and then you know, 2026 is when they find Hal Jordan's body.
It's interesting that they set this whole plot 10 years in the past, in our past. Like, usually they have shows take place in our present. I'm not sure what to say about
that. I mean, well, it does touch into our present. The start of episode two is our present.
Right. It's something to play with the timeline. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just
a little memento wish, a little forward, a little back, a little further, a little current, a little back.
I actually bought the idea that Hal, this version of Hal, seems like the kind of guy that his ring would be on 5% and he just keeps operating. Like, if it were me and my ring was at 5%, I would be freaking out and doing everything I can to recharge it. But I guess I'm paranoid.
Well, it's also kind of funny that he can fly to Oa, but he can't just fly back to Coast City to recharge his ring. He just forgets about it.
Well,
he could have. He just didn't want to.
Yeah. I mean, he only had 5%. He floated in the air for like a minute and then it ran out of juice, so he couldn't have flown either way. He flew to... Yeah, so...
Yeah. Well, the guy says, you've been here for 48 hours. Shouldn't you be recharging your ring? And it's like, yeah, you'd think as experienced as he is, he wouldn't have forgotten about it.
Well, I don't think he does forget about it. I think he just doesn't care.
Well, it seems like the 24-hour thing is not applicable because it's been 48 hours and the ring still has charge. So, because it used to be Green Lanterns have to charge every 24 hours, but that doesn't seem to be the case anymore.
It seems like now it's 48.
Well, no, now it's just like whatever runs out, you got to recharge it. Do you guys like when he does the oath and he just kind of mumbles it?
Yeah. I think of the look of the lantern.
I thought it was cool.
It was interesting.
It was smaller than I thought.
It was a little extra.
We mentioned that. I mentioned this before we got on the call, but I like that Kyle Chandler is one of us and doesn't pronounce the T in lantern. He's like, I gotta get back to charge the lantern.
Yeah.
That was great.
One of my favorite parts was him was when they're in the taco stand in the first episode. He's like, pay the check, and then just takes off.
Yeah, that was great.
Even though it
doesn't really make sense why, like, it didn't really pay off.
What?
Right.
It doesn't make any sense that a Hal recording from 10 years ago would know to tell him, notify something that just happened in Nebraska. It don't make no sense.
Alerts. Alarms.
Yeah, the alien was detected in Nebraska.
So why didn't he just say that immediately when he came out?
Because it wasn't Hal.
Yeah, because John Stewart was there.
Because.
Because it was...
Okay.
I didn't have a problem with that.
Okay.
John.
So like, that notification was from the Guardians? I was a little bit confused by that.
No, it was set up by him.
Yeah, he set an alert, so if something funky happens, activate that.
Then why is it in code?
Because it's John, and it's not Hal.
But why?
You can't just...
Is that a real possibility of something he was actually worried about?
Apparently so.
Yeah. I think it's also to, like, have the audience be intrigued. And I was, so it was successful.
I was so very intrigued.
Yeah. I'll have some good intrigue.
Yeah. I mean, it was good. Don't get me wrong, but I was confused. Yeah. What else did I want to talk about? Yeah, Mogul. What do you guys think of Earl the plant? The only thing I liked about that part is I loved John Stewart's delivery of the line, fucking Jordan. Yeah.
Is that like from anything, that plant?
No. From anything.
All right. Fair enough.
That's a nice, sweet pariah plant.
I mean, it's kind of like, again, it might be from like the Superman movie where it's like fucking guy, right? Similar kind of thing. It's like, do you believe this guy kind of thing, I guess?
That also reminded me of when John Stewart lies. I don't know how I feel about John Stewart Breaker, but somebody asks him, do you and Jordan get along? He's like, yeah, we get along great.
He's sarcastic.
Is that when he's talking to the guys who kidnapped him?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think he's probably lying. Who are those guys, by the way? And are they Quartians? What do we think?
What?
The guys who kidnapped John.
They're the Atrocitus people.
No, I think they're Quartians.
Okay.
Yeah, definitely. I think the depiction of Hal Jordan is great. It carries the show. In two episodes, he's already like a character that you want to see more of and want to hang out with more. I like the part where he says, it's going to look like I'm getting my ass kicked and you're going to want to intervene, but don't. And John Stewart's like, don't worry, I'm not going to.
It's
not going to be a problem.
Yeah, the writing is good. Like, that's like your major complaint about most of these superhero shows is the writing is really bad.
Yeah, it's usually good. Not always. I mean, yeah, like the stuff with the sheriff where it's like, I gotta protect my town. I mean to Hal for no reason. Like that character, unfortunately, that character's not very good, but
it's because it's
overall, I'm thoroughly enjoying it.
You think she's Martian Manhunter?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
We'll see.
Is it too late to do prop bets, I guess? And then we're two episodes in.
No, I guess not. If you'd come up with some.
Is the sheriff Martian Manhunter? I think we have our first one right there.
I'm gonna say
yes. Why not? Yeah, sure.
Well, who do we think the Manhunter is? A lot of things. The entire town, except for the sheriff, Manhunters.
Yeah, this hasn't been revealed yet.
I think it's Macon Hill. I think it's kind of obvious. Twist is obvious.
They should ask Macon Hill where Harry Potter went to school.
Yeah,
that's your solution.
Macon's wife.
Yeah, ask her that too.
That's not crazy.
It's not a crazy theory.
Yeah. Why else does she keep showing up?
She's in a very like weirdly not human way too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I like the part too where he's like, "See, what did I tell you? Aliens." It reminded me of Zach in the X-Files movie. Aliens.
I think of our little alien invasion. Wanda, do you have a theory why the bird is still there if the ring is out of power?
Because John has immense willpower.
Out of power, and it's supposed to show how powerful John is.
Yeah, he's the second most threatening thing on the planet.
Yeah,
or is he first? Right,
he's the first.
Did they say Manhunter?
He's the
Manhunter is the second most dangerous threat. I guess John is the first.
John is the first when it comes to wives, and marriage.
You draw Mr. Steal Your Girl.
Hide your kids.
No. Yeah.
You don't go for kids.
I agree that the highway chase was like stupid, or it was pointless, but it was still entertaining to watch.
Well, it was ridiculous that he busts out of the car and the lantern is just like with him, so he grabs it and starts running.
It was so cool. It was like, because it had some weight to it, unlike a lot of superhero action scenes.
Right,
I was a little nervous that he's like running towards the cars.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah,
so and like strange. Also just didn't think it was like that kind of show, so I was like, oh, we are having action scenes.
Gratuitous action scenes.
Yeah, a little gratuitous.
Yeah. Yep. So good choice, Alana.
Yeah, it feels like the old Tuesday Night Game again.
Yeah, of course you did.
We all picked it.
But you were advocating for it.
Well, it's going to make good content.
Absolutely. Okay, so time for questions of the day, dude.
Time for questions of the day. Question number one comes to us courtesy of Zach. As of today, RIP Dolly Parton.
Indeed.
What is your favorite Dolly Parton song?
Zach, no.
Come on, it's tradition.
Tradition.
Yeah.
Is that a Dolly Parton song?
No. Wait, you guys want to know some Dolly Parton songs? I was listening to some today because I'm a good fan.
You are not.
9 to 5, Jolene.
Yeah.
Anything else?
My personal pick is Ions in the Stream of Kenny Rogers. Yeah. How do you like me now?
How do you like me? How do you like me? Boom, boom, boom.
Mm-hmm.
I will say 9 to 5. It's good.
It's a classic.
Yeah.
It gets me on my feet.
Yeah.
9 to 5.
Makes me.
Well, used in an episode of Orville. Yeah.
It hasn't yet made a musical about it. You know how I feel about musicals. Yeah.
How do you feel?
What?
I love musicals.
Did you know if you keep your pickaxe open, you have unlimited sprint?
That can't be true. It's true. Wow. Thanks, Jay.
Thanks,
gang, for giving me a tip in the loading screen. It asked a survey question, and I was like, I can't believe that. Do you know this is a thing? And I said, no. And I said, it is.
It's like battle off to the left.
Let's go get them. There's only 6 people left. We can ambush them.
And they're right on this hill.
Well, let's get inside the storm first, please.
Okay. Rob, do you have a favorite Dolly Parton song?
Yeah, I mean, like, I was going to pick Jolene, and I was looking at the list, and I was like, I actually like prefer the Whitney Houston version, like everybody else. But I Will Always Love You.
It's a good song.
It's a good song. So I like. Oh God, Mega Buster's amazing.
Yeah, both versions are good.
So then, what's your answer then?
Yeah, it is. I Will Always Love You. I mean, like, yeah. Sorry, Jolene. But
wait, you prefer
ballads.
The Dolly Parton version of I Will Always Love
You? I prefer, yeah. As far as favorite Dolly Parton songs, I Will Always Love You. But if I had to choose between Whitney's and hers, I'm gonna pick Whitney's.
Okay. Yes. Yeah. Okay. Fair enough.
Which is more of a Whitney guy than a Dolly guy. Sorry, but both of them RIP.
Yeah. Wow.
I don't listen to Dolly Parton.
So uncultured.
Who has the best taste of music in the family?
It's still me.
Not a lot. Not a lot.
What?
Okay. Are we ready to move on? Jay, do you want to weigh in?
I mean, I could always listen to Jolene.
I thought you said 9 to 5 gets you up and dancing.
Yeah, but I can always listen to Jolene.
True.
But 9 and 5, yeah, 9 and 5. I can listen to both.
Tough question. Toughest question we've had.
Follow me. Okay, question number 2. What made you the man you are today?
Oh my God.
Trauma.
In Alana's case.
Trauma. Lots and lots of trauma.
Trauma?
Okay.
Trauma from what?
From childhood, I assume.
No, you're saying trauma, like trauma films, like Toxic Avenger, right?
That must be.
I'm going to say karate classes made me the man I am today.
Karate classes?
From all karate classes, yeah.
Okay. I would say, I guess my parents. I'll say my parents. Zach said karate class. Jay said trauma.
I'm going to say American Ninja.
You already said trauma.
You think watching American Ninja 30 times isn't trauma adding?
I suppose that's show. Can't really argue with that. Rob?
What was the question?
Hollywood?
I mean, Hollywood is my default answer, but I was kind of thinking, honestly, it's just like, environment. Like, I was like born in Annapolis. I just can't imagine what would happen if I was like born in, like, I don't know, the Greenland or something.
Fairfax,
like, yeah, or God forbid Fairfax, yeah,
or worse, Fairfax.
Yeah, but yeah, I was just saying environment. I got
very scientist answer.
You're a product of your environment.
I'm a product of my environment.
Okay.
The Land of the Departed.
All right, Alana.
Probably family members.
Any particular family members?
Nope.
Perhaps some certain brothers, perhaps.
Nope.
Perhaps one brother more than the other, perhaps.
Is there a fourth brother? We don't know about.
Okay. You guys ready for question number 3?
Yes.
Okay, question number 3. What's a video game you got the farthest into the story without finishing? I think that's from Zach.
Yeah, it is from me.
It seems to be in his trademark writing style.
What's that?
Nothing. Great. Well written. No, mm-hmm. Well written. And I will say Skyrim. But that's because I don't play a lot of single player games and story games. So
how far did you get?
I got like decently far, I thought. Well, what's the main storyline? Is it the like Norse rebellion versus the Empire or whatever?
I think so.
Like I got to the part either. I didn't get that. The part where they like fight, there's like a battle. You're part of a battle where they take a castle or something. I was in that.
I got to that.
Yeah. So I don't know. Probably not that far. And like I did stuff with the dragons and like being the chosen one or whatever. So like I did
chosen
some.
One.
Yeah. I definitely did some.
Okay. Well, I thought of this question so I can go second. For mine, it was Red Dead Redemption. So for those of you who play Red Dead Redemption, as you may remember, in the beginning, you do things like roping cattle and picking berries and like herding sheep. So you do that. And then at the end of the game, you go back to your home and you do herding sheep again. I was like, okay, so yeah, you just herd sheep. That's the end of the game. All right, I'm going to stop playing. And then I stopped playing.
Roll credits.
Yeah.
There's not like an Unforgiven storyline.
Well, I don't want to give it away, even though the game is probably ridiculously old. But no, that's not the end of the story.
Wow. So how does that make you feel?
Fine. I'm like, I pretty much finished it. Whatever.
You're like 90% there. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So, which is interesting because usually I do try to finish. If it's a game with a story, I usually try to finish it, even if I am not enjoying it that much.
Zach got the centuries first. I'm never going to win. Alana, Jay, Rob.
This is a hard question for me because I'm kind of like a completist. And even if I don't like the game, I would be like, well, I'm already like one third in, so I'll just finish it. But I did think it's kind of a cheat because it's also like I kind of roll credits on it, but Octopath Traveler.
Jeez.
Why is Jay chuckling?
It's like a 2.5, what are they called? HD 2D, which is like updated 2D graphics with like a 3D background, but the characters are sprites. It kind of harkens back to like the 16-bit look, but it's made by Squaresoft, and it's just a really long 60-hour game, and you can kind of roll credits like early-ish because there's like 8 characters to choose from, and if you just beat one of their storylines you roll credits, but you get to get the full story, you have to like basically beat all 8, and then you have to do a bunch of weird secret stuff, and then like then finally their like storylines merge together, but then like the boss itself is like you need to be like level 80 to have a chance of beating it. So I just stopped. But and then a friend later bought me Octopath Traveler 2 for my birthday, and then I did beat that to actual completion for whatever reason.
Did you like it more?
Actually, no, not really. but I think the to get to the end game was more doable. So,
All right.
Nice. Mine was Fable 3 because it's basically 2 games in one. After you save from the big bad boss, you have to make a decision on whether or not you're going to tax the city and all your lands, or if you're going to, in order to prepare for the next evil that comes, or if you're just going to live in prosperity and have all your people live in happy bliss. And then after that, it becomes inventory and money management and taxing and like social stuff and then all this other stuff. And it was a lot. It got to, like, because it's based off of timing and stuff like that. Oh gosh, yeah, it was just like forever. I think I probably put in like 200 hours into that game.
Wow.
And I could not finish it. It was a thing.
Sorry, that happened.
No, I love the franchise. The franchise is amazing, and I'm looking forward to the new one that's coming out very soon. But I don't know. It was at a time that I just could not sit there. I mean, I had pumped in so much, and I had played 2 straight into 3, so like I had in that franchise probably like 500 hours like back to back, so like it was a lot.
Sounds like it. Yeah,
great games, great franchise. I hope the new one is great.
Good.
This is a game you never finished.
Yeah.
I mean, that's like every video game I've ever played.
No, but which one did you get the furthest into without finishing it?
When we were in college, Andrew had me play Fire Red on his Game Boy Advance, and I got to the Elite Four and then couldn't do it, so Andrew beat it for me.
Yeah, that counts. You could also say Kirby Air Ride. Matt and I were trying to 100% it.
And we I still don't think we were, but you guys say we were, so I'll take your word for it. Cool.
Anything else?
And Brightest Day and Blackest Night.
Yep. So thank you all for joining us here on Tuesday Night Gaming. Catch us in 2 weeks for more Lanterns at twitch.tv/mcslanty and group up with us next time.
Yeah, do it.
Yeah.
Whether it's TV, whether it's movies, or questions about you, come for the laughs, come for the banter, come for whatever you choose. To Tuesday Night Gaming with the siblings and Jay. Listen while they're